Bill Barden has been playing trombone on the West Coast for more than six decades with a style that moves easily between classic and swing jazz. He's fluent whether playing small band swing, New Orleans, or West Coast traditional jazz. Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Trombonist Barden's a cooperative player interested in creating a good ensemble sound, as you can hear in this live performance with Magnolia Jazz Band. Joining me in this 1994 interview of Barden was clarinet player William Carter, author of Preservation Hall, Music from the Heart, and for over a decade, chairman of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation. An active player on the West Coast from the early 40s on, Bill Barden recalls a varied music scene, and in some instances, types of venues that are now long gone but fascinating to hear about.
I played at the Clip Joints in the Tenderloin, a couple of them, the Chaperie and the Streets of Paris. Later, I played at one of the Dime Jigs in Oakland. That's a taxi dance hall. Do you know what that is?
I've never heard that term used before. I know about taxi dancing. If I get it right, they'd purchase, well, like a ticket or a token, and the girls would collect it at the dance. And
when I was playing there, I played there in 48 through 49, roughly, when I started at the Broadway Dancing Academy. It was 12 and a half cents a dance then. Each dance lasted 1 minute or maybe a minute and a half. There were five pieces hired, but most of the night there were only four playing. It was continuous music, and we had to take an intermission, so many minutes per hour. I think it was 15 minutes per hour of playing time. So we'd rotate. Sometimes I had to play drums, and someone else would have to play piano, and so forth and so on. Because each tune lasted only one chorus or a chorus and a half. But you learned a lot of tunes. And as I recall, at the Broadway, There were the same mistakes at the same place every night. The same fluffs. I knew that on Diane I was going to miss the high note, and I never let myself down.
All of Me, trombonist Bill Barden with Robbie Schlosser's Magnolia Jazz Band, Robbie on cornet and Lynn Patch Reeds, recorded by yours truly at a Northern California Jazz Festival. More from that 1988 live performance later this hour. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer saluting trombonist Bill Barden. Of the couple dozen bands Bill's played with over the years, they typically have that very friendly and relaxed New Orleans afternoon on the back porch kind of feeling. In fact, the next recordings were made on several Sunday afternoons in the early 1970s. Bandleader Earl Sheeler used to own a club in Berkeley, California called the New Orleans House, and this was the house band known as the Funky New Orleans Jazz Band. At the time, all these guys had known each other and played together for years and years. Bob Helm on reeds, leader Earl Sheeler on cornet, Dick Oxtot banjo, and Pete Allen string bass. Bill Barden, of course, the trombone player for Riverside Blues and Willie the Weeper. Thank you. Willie the Weeper and Riverside Blues, the funky New Orleans jazz band of Earl Sheeler. After cutting his teeth on dime jigs and a brief role in the Lou Waters band during World War II, Barton graduated to a job at East Bay night spot Victor and Roxy's. Once again, sitting in on this 1994 interview was chairman of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation, clarinetist and author William Carter.
Did you think of yourself, did you plan to become a professional musician?
I thought I was a professional.
I mean, for life. I mean, yeah.
I thought I was.
Yeah, and then?
After Victor's and Roxy's, after the Burt Bales job, I think I went back to the dime jig for a little while, the Broadway. And I don't really remember whether it was the dime jig was my last steady playing job or Victor's and Roxy's. I guess that shows you that I was drinking too much since I can't recall, since they blend together in my mind. But I didn't have a playing job. So I went to work in a warehouse temporarily in Richmond, and that temporary job stretched into decades, mm-hmm. where I was a day worker and taking casuals when I had the chance to, and occasionally being hired first call. I played a couple of times at the Hangover with Hines a weekend and with Marty Marsala. Of course, Marty Marsala liked the Tea Garden type players.
This is an interview of Bill Barton, primarily for the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Archives. And Bill, thanks for taking the time to come down here.
Oh, glad to.
One of the first reasons people seem to seek you out is your involvement in the Yerba Buena Jazz Band, when Lou and a lot of guys were in the Navy.
It was the fall of 42 that I was at the Dawn Club. Somewhere along the line, I don't know how these things happened, but Benny Strickler was an old friend of some of the guys in the band, Helm, I think, and Russ Bennett, the banjo player. So he was talked into coming and playing at the Dawn Club. And he had been playing with Bob Wills.
Strickler had, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a marvelous player. Really bouncy. You can tell by listening to him. There was a half-hour broadcast, live remote broadcast, every Friday night from the Dawn Club. One of these, at least one, and possibly only one, was taken down as an air check. Someone set up an acetate recorder in the kitchen, took it before it got to the air. That's what the Benny Strickler records were. Thank you. It was a wonderful experience hearing the Waters Band.
I can imagine.
In person. It was impossible to carry on a conversation. They were so loud, but they were rich. They had a big, rich, round sound. And some of us Berkeley people had set up a little band. It was with P.T. Stanton and Pete Allen and a few others who are not playing any longer. Someone in our band asked permission to play a set at the Dawn Club. So we did, and we surprised everyone. Those guys didn't know that anyone was doing that kind of music. They didn't know, in short, that they had any imitators. And we were the first imitators, I think. And Dart, very friendly guy, he said, "Why don't you guys join the union, for Christ's sake?" He said, that's how he talked. And the upshot of it was that I got a job replacing Turk at the Dawn Club. So I became a Turk imitator. I never was a big Turk fan. I am a great admirer of his part playing, the broad way that he plays parts in the band. And of course, I was, from listening to the Hot 5 records, I was aware of Ori and an Ori fan, and then later Jim Robinson. Although I didn't become a real fan of Jim Robinson's until I saw him in person with the George Lewis band. Ori's band was at the CIO Hall at 150 Golden Gate Avenue in about 1945, give or take a year. And I spent a lot of time there. Another great all-time band. Living at Ma Waters' house at 24 Steiner Street. And
wait a minute, you said Ma Waters?
Ma Waters, yeah.
Lou's mother?
Yes.
Wait a minute, let's divert just a minute. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Lou's mother rented a flat that is the entire top floor of an old frame house, well, a typical San Francisco house at number 24 Steiner Street. And Lou lived there for a while. And he moved out. At the time I was living there, Gershbach lived there. Gershbach had a room there. Forrest Brown had a room there. Forrest Brown was a piano player and bass player.
A room in this big flat?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Lou's half-sister Lina lived there. And Ma Waters. Thank you. kitchen privileges. And Lou's parrot was there, too, and living in Ma Waters' part of the apartment. Lina, Lou's half-sister, was a sort of nervous woman, a pleasant woman, but a little nervous. And sometimes the parrot would call out, "Lina, telephone!" And poor Lina would come out and go toward the telephone. She never did know when it was Ma Waters speaking or the parrot.
Did Ma Waters put the parrot up to this, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think that it was just an ornery parrot. I think it just picked up on this on the natural.
Was there ever music played there?
No. It was not out and out a musical apartment.
But it did give you a chance to get, what, better acquainted with Lou?
Or not with Lou. He wasn't living there.
Oh, okay.
He would show up every now and then. Sometimes he and his wife, Pat, would show up and have a terrible quarrel. And they'd be drunk and they'd be yelling at each other. And I don't think they actually threw anything at each other, but they'd be yelling at each other with strong language and loud.
Recordings of the Lou Waters Yerba Buena Jazz Band from the early 40s, 1942 in particular, those with my interview guest Bill Barden on trombone, with trumpeter Benny Strickler, Bob Helm and Ellis Horn playing reeds, Clancy Hayes on drums, and pianist Burt Bales. That was the long unissued Muskrat Ramble, and we heard bits of Kansas City Stomps and Dippermouth Blues. During the years we're discussing, the late 40s and early 50s, Bill played often with pianist Burt Bales and knew him well.
I was living at Ma Waters' house at 24 Steiner Street, and Burt was living around the corner in an alley called Lily Street. And I used to like to go around and sit in his living room in the afternoon and listen to records and talk to Burt.
Would he have been older than you?
Oh, yes, about 10 years older than me. He was kind of a wiggy guy, Burt.
How so?
He had original ideas on political matters, and my impression was he had a rather high IQ. And he was interesting and fun to talk to and to listen to hold forth.
Talking now the period when you're living in this flat.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Now, what period was that exactly?
48, 49.
You were there for...
47, maybe. 47, 48, yeah. Then Burt was working at a place called the 1018 Club on Fillmore Street. It was an easy walk over the hill, and the 1018 Club was a big square room lined in tile, white tile, like a bathroom. There was a piano about 3 feet off the floor on a small platform, and Burt would sit up there and from time to time ask if anybody was going to buy the piano player a drink. And he'd play his marvelous stuff. He was at the top of his form then. And
what sort of stuff would he play?
He would play Fats stuff, and he would play Jelly Roll. Thank you.
as with Jelly Roll Morton's New Orleans Joys. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me during this first of two programs, saluting trombonist Bill Barden on jazz rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. Promotional support is provided by the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication offering traditional jazz and ragtime interviews, history, photos, reviews, and current events. Details at mississippirag.com. On the Jazz Rhythm website, you can learn more about jazz, listen to program clips, ask me questions, or request playlists at jazzhot.bigstep.com. Trombonist Bill Barden is heard on very few commercially available discs or tapes, so I dug up a number of rare live performances recorded during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, several borrowed from the archives of the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation, such as this Mecca Flat Blues. It's taken from a 1966 jam session with a Dick Oxtot group, including Bunky Coleman on clarinet, bassist Pete Allen, Bill Dart drums, and the odd trumpeter P.T. Stanton, about whom you'll hear more in the second of two programs, saluting Bill Barden.